Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is God's Word made flesh, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We read verses 5 through 12. The Apostle Paul here, writing by inspiration, writes this: "Indeed, we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For the God who said, 'Light will shine out of darkness,' is the same one who made the light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. We hold this treasure in clay jars to show that its extraordinary power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed, perplexed, yet not despairing, persecuted, yet not forsaken, struck down, yet not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of the Lord Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. To be sure, while we are living, we are continually being handed over to death because of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life is working in you." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. When a business is trying to get its products delivered to its customers, it is likely going to look for the most efficient and most reliable ways to do so. And I would guess that the more valuable the product, the more important it is that your delivery system will get that product where it needs to go. If it does not, the results could be devastating. They could even be catastrophic to the company. And I would also further to guess that no company in their right mind would ever choose a delivery system that was consistently inefficient and consistently unreliable. Well, think about the incredibly valuable product, so to speak, that God has delivered to mankind. His product in air quotes there. It is His holy word. In this word, of course, is the good news, the gospel, that all mankind has been saved through the life, the death, and the resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Our text rightly calls this word a treasure. How would you choose to deliver this product, to deliver this soul-saving message, this treasure to the world? Well, maybe you would use one of God's angels. Their name means messenger. That's what the word angel means. Maybe you'd even use a host of angels, like God did when He announced the birth of His Son Jesus to those shepherds near Bethlehem. Would you choose instead maybe to write it in fire across the sky so that everyone can see it and read it for themselves? Or maybe you would just tell God, come down yourself. Just tell everybody yourself. In all your glory, all your majesty, tell everyone this great message yourself. Well, let me ask you then, in your wildest dreams, would you have guessed the method that God actually used to deliver this message of mankind's salvation? Can you imagine that God actually used clay jars? What are you talking about, Pastor? Clay jars? You're sounding like a cracked pot by saying that. What I mean is this. Paul explains it in our text, actually. We are, in this illustration of Paul's, clay jars. Not the most flattering of illustrations, but Paul's point is valid. He says, we are clay jars whose true value and true strength does not come from ourselves, but it comes from the treasure that is contained inside of it. This is the smallest Bible I had. It didn't quite fit in that pot, but it's the treasure that's contained inside the clay pot that gives the true value and the worth to this clay pot, this clay jar. The Word of God is that treasure, the message of forgiveness and salvation through Jesus Christ. There is truly no treasure more valuable than that. I may have mentioned this before in a sermon at a previous time, but every time I read these verses, I'm reminded of what a seminary professor of mine said as he expounded on this thought of we are clay jars. I loved what he said. He said, we're clay jars, but we're also cracked and leaky pots. We're cracked and leaky clay jars, just hoping to splash some of God's water of life on others. I thought that was well put. We are the containers. We are the distributors of God's life-saving gospel, and his words remind us that we are even inefficient and unreliable distributors at that. So why is it that we can so easily be tempted to get this switched around or to get this flipped, that we feel that somehow we are the priceless treasure and we are the ones who have the strength in and of ourselves? We can easily begin thinking that we are not the clay jar, but we are the important thing, the treasure. It's easy to begin making the people at church, the pastor, the teachers, our fellow members, making them the reason that we gather for church or for Bible study, instead of what is actually being preached and taught. In other words, again, putting the clay jar in front of the treasure of God's saving word. Let's also be clear of one very important fact, though. Our fellowship, our friendships, having a harmonious relationship with our pastor, our teachers, our fellow members, those are incredible blessings. They should not be taken for granted. Those blessings help us tremendously, especially as we work together in God's kingdom. And they are truthfully one of the biggest reasons I enjoy serving the Lord. And I'm happy to be the pastor that God has called me to be for this congregation and the congregations that I serve in California. But if we are valuing our pastor, our teachers, our fellow members ahead of the Lord and his word, valuing the clay jar over the treasure, then we've got it wrong. That can lead to not only spiritual trouble, it can lead to spiritual disaster. That might lead us to ask the question then, well, why on earth would God use clay pots anyway? Well, Paul gives us the answer in the last half of verse 7. He says he does this to show that its extraordinary power is from God and not from us. If you spend some time serving the Lord, this will become abundantly clear very quickly. Spend some time serving the Lord as a pastor, a teacher, a staff member of our school, or on the Board of Education, or as an elder or church officer, or on the Women's Auxiliary, or in just about any other volunteer capacity within the church, and you will find out very quickly it is a humbling experience. If we do an honest assessment of ourselves and our work for the Lord, we will very quickly realize just how unfit we are to be in the service of the Lord. Just how leaky and cracked we clay jars are. But on the positive side, you also will realize very quickly it is the power and providence of God Himself that is working for you and through you. I can tell you that a number of times in my ministry, it's been very clear to me that the Lord's ministry is not about me. It's not even about us. It's about Him. There have been many times where I have definitely felt and known my weakness and my weaknesses, just how leaky and cracked a pot I really am. And yet God does not leave me abandoned. He lifts me up. He pulls me through it. Still causes that precious water of life to still be poured out through me. At the same time, there have been occasions in our congregations that I've served where I've been blessed in one way or another to witness just how God has blessed the congregation in various ways, and it has absolutely nothing to do with my efforts or what I've done at all, or even my involvement. Maybe you've had similar experiences in your life and in your work in the congregations that you've been involved in and served in. I hope and pray that you have, and I hope and pray that you continue to have those kinds of experiences. And that is why Paul writes in the first verse of our text, he says, "We do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For the God who said, 'Light will shine out of darkness,' is the same one who made light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ." We are not the show. We are not the treasure. Therefore, we do not preach ourselves, but we preach Christ Jesus as Lord. We are, as Paul says in verse 5, we are servants of our fellow believers, of mankind. We are servants for Jesus' sake. Did you know that's what the word minister means? It means servant. And you and I have all been given a ministry of one kind or another in our lives. Therefore, we have all been given the task of being a servant of Jesus for the sake of our fellow believers and for the sake of our fellow human beings. We are servants. We are the clay jars. We are not the treasure. The treasure has been given to us. As Paul says, when God made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. He's put that treasure in your heart and mine through faith, that gift of the Holy Spirit. He's put that treasure in us lowly clay jars that we might pour it out, that we might share it with others and show to others and the world around us its extraordinary power is from God and not from us. Think of the man whom God chose to write these words. Think of the Apostle Paul. He was perhaps the greatest example of exactly what this text talks about. He was quite possibly the greatest Christian missionary ever, but we know how cracked and leaky he was. He apparently was disabled. He was physically a cracked and leaky pot. He writes in the same letter to the Corinthians about a thorn he had in his flesh, some physical deformity or infirmity that the Lord refused to take away from Paul. God kept it there to keep him humble and constantly remind him where Paul's true strength came from. Paul talks about the struggle. He says he pleaded with God 3 times to take it away, and this was what God said to Paul. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. My power and my treasure are made perfect, are shown to be perfect in a weak and frail clay jar." And what was Paul's response to these words from God? He said, "Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Paul understood where his true value came from. He understood where his true strength came from. And so he wrote in the words that came in the chapter before our sermon text for today, he said, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant." Our sufficiency is from God, who has made us ministers, made us sufficient as ministers of his new covenant. Think of how important and how essential that is, that type of attitude that Paul had, how essential that is to our Christian life. Realizing that we are neither the treasure nor the power. We don't have that power in and of ourselves. After all, if I was to ask you, what would you rather put your trust in? This breakable, fragile clay pot? Or the rock, Jesus Christ? As we gather again together for worship and Bible study and then a congregational meeting afterwards, let's be sure as we come into the church doors, we ask ourselves each time, why am I here? What did I come here for? Why did you come to St. Stephen today? Why do you show up for Sunday worship and Bible study and church meetings? Are you here because of the clay jar or because of the treasure that is inside it? Are you here because of a man or because of your fellow members or because of the message? We must always remember to put Christ and His gospel, His word, that treasure first. Because after all, no pastor or teacher are going to be here forever. But Christ and His soul-saving message will be. And the reverse is also true. No matter how much I enjoy serving you, no matter how much I love and care about you, you are not going to be here forever either. But Jesus and His word always will. No matter where we are, Jesus and His word are always there. And so I ask again the question that we asked near the beginning of the sermon. If you were God, how would you have your holy, powerful message of mankind's salvation delivered to the world? Well, as we've read again in our text, the answer was that He chose to use, surprisingly, clay jars to carry that priceless treasure, that powerful treasure of His word. But let's not also forget the ultimate way God delivered His message of salvation to all people. The ultimate way He showed Himself and the ultimate way He showed His love. God Himself came down to deliver His message of salvation. But He didn't come down in His full glory, lightning bolts shooting out of His hands, laser beams coming out of His eyes. No, He came as a clay pot Himself, albeit a perfect one. He came down when He sent His Son Jesus, who is the Word made flesh, the Word made man, to live among us, to live a perfect life for us because we could not, to take away all of our sins on the cross, and to live again so that we would live forever with Him. The potter, as we read in Isaiah, is the one who was and is the treasure Himself, but He made Himself one of us. He made Himself a jar of clay to save us cracked and leaky pots with the most undesirable of means, the cross, that horrible yet wonderful cross. This incredible message is why Paul says in our text, we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. We hold this treasure in clay jars to show that the extraordinary power is from God and not from us. What a message, what a treasure. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.